Good morning. Thanks. So welcome to the Research Committee's symposium that we hold annually. And my name is Sean Kneipp. I'm the moderator today. I'm also the outgoing research chair. I'm very pleased today that you're here to gain the wisdom of two very seasoned nurse scientists who have very interesting programs of research, and in very different areas. You'll hear about that today. So the overall title of our session is Building the Science of Public Health Nursing to Address Complex Problems and Multiple Risk Factors in Vulnerable Populations. And for those of us who do this kind of research, we know that it's the complexity and all of that that is really the tough thing to address in our science. So I'm very happy to have them talk with us a little bit about that today. I have to provide a disclosure that I have no conflict of interest for the CEU portion of the presentation. We have two speakers. Dr. Linda Bieber will be speaking first. She is a professor in the School of Nursing at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And she is an advanced practice psychiatric mental health nurse who has practiced and conducted clinical trials to reduce depressive symptoms in high-risk, low-income mothers of infants and toddlers. She specializes in delivering mental health interventions in the home, and take note, because that is now combined with what's happening in the home with nurse-family partnership, which she'll talk with you about. She's devoted to developing non-stigmatizing, accessible mental health care to families with the goal of prevention of mental disorders by intervening early and improving the mental health of very young children. So she'll be our first speaker. Our second speaker is Dr. Eileen Stewart Shore from the College of Nursing and Health Sciences at the University of Massachusetts here in Boston. Thank you. We're happy to be here. And Dr. Shore is an associate professor at the University of Massachusetts Boston. She's a nurse practitioner at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, the director of the Roxbury and Kenya Heart and Soul Projects, and she's on the board of the Global Health Nursing Caucus. Her primary clinical and scholarly interests center on improving cardiovascular metabolic prevention, detection, and treatment for underserved populations, as well as improving access to care in resource-constrained settings here in the United States and globally. So what we will do is I'll also play my timekeeper role, and we'll have about 30 minutes with each speaker, and then we've left a pretty sufficient time at the end for discussion and questions and some dialogue. So I think we'll let our speakers speak first and then have more of a broad-based conversation. Okay? So I'd like to welcome Dr. Linda Bieber and Dr. Stewart Shore. Thank you.
Well, we initially were given 20 minutes, so then we got an extension. So I get to tell some stories about how I came to do this work, and that's the really fun part, because when I was an undergraduate in my baccalaureate program, I really got bitten by the public health nurse bug and decided by the end of the time I was graduating that I was going to be a public health nurse. I did my clinical in a little tiny enclave outside of Richmond, Virginia called Fulton Bottom, and it was a tiny little village and very low-income folks, and just loved it, just absolutely loved it, and ate catfish, fried catfish and greens with folks, and learned about their families, and did some mental health work because I really sort of liked mental health. But then when I got my next dream was I was going to go to Kentucky and deliver babies and be a frontier nurse, because I really like driving jeeps and riding horses, I thought that would be very cool too, and it would be a way of combining both. Then NIMH came along and offered me a free ride my last year if I went into mental health. Now, mental health I was less excited about. I had not done well in that, in clinical, the only clinical I didn't do well in, and so I was a little ambivalent about it. But I also thought it was really cool. It was very portable. You know, the idea of watching an experienced psych nurse actually walk up to somebody and be able to change their behavior, calm them down, get them to be motivated just by standing there. There was like no tech, you know, and I really was kind of fascinated by that, and the money helped. So I ended up going into psych mental health nursing. But ultimately, as you can see from where my program of research went, I ended up back with mothers and children and back with in the community, in the home again. So it sort of came around full circle, which I tell my students and postdocs and mentees, don't worry about it. Just stay with your passion. Keep the work going. You will land where you will be, and it will work out. But the idea there of first tracking depression because it was so common, tracking depression in women because it was so common in women, and then working back to the low-income populations then led me back to mothers and children, because most of the low-income population is mothers and children, and then became, with the infant mental health movement moving forward, showing that it really does transmit across generations, that that early period, 0 to 3, is so critical in terms of for future mental health, and it really relates to the mother's relationship with that child, that's kind of where the work ended up. So that's why I'm here, and I'm thrilled to be here. And my team that I'm working with now is a very talented team, working with David Olds, who is the visionary and starter of the Nurse Family Partnership, who is just phenomenal in seeing sort of what's ahead and what needs to be done, and has been a fabulous leader. He works in the Prevention Research Center, and two other extremely talented people there are Francesca Pinto and Maria Rosa Gasparo, both of whom we have become sort of the hub of the team. And then we have gotten from the Nursing Service Organization, which is the clinical end of the Nurse Family Partnership, we've recruited Paula Zena, who is in the Louisiana Nurse Family Partnership, married to Charlie Zena, who is a big infant mental health development person. So she brings both Nurse Family Partnership and infant mental health expertise. Joan Locke, who is the Pennsylvania State Coordinator, so she takes care of all of Pennsylvania. And then Sharon Sprinkle, who takes care of all of the East Coast of the U.S. in terms of the Nurse Family Partnership. So right from the beginning, we worked very closely with our clinical people as well as the research, and I'm the data person, and so we've had a great team as we've moved forward. I have no conflicts of interest to disclose, just to let you know. Okay. So today I'm going to describe the process that by which we are developing a mental health enhancement to the Nurse Family Partnership. And to do that, I've constructed a case example. And what I mean by constructed case is that we play this game when I'm out working with the actual nurses doing this mental health enhancement. We call it Stump Linda, and they send me their hardcore cases. And then I work on them, either online or by phone or in face-to-face. So the Stump Linda cases, I pulled together the details so that we couldn't ever identify any one of these cases. And so we'll go through that case, and we'll look at this person as a typical Nurse Family Partnership client, which is more severe than any of us would imagine, but not a surprise to any of us who work with high-risk populations. Then I'll give you a brief overview of the NFP for those of you who are not familiar with it, and how we work through the process of developing it. My point today was we're just short of having our data ready. That'll be our next presentation, but right now I wanted to talk about the process because I think the process can be replicated in a variety of different kinds of venues outside of NFP to bring mental health back to and make it accessible to low-income populations. And I will show you sort of how we've done the content and then go back to the case and apply it to the case so we can see how it actually works in operation. And then we'll have some time, I hope, to discuss this. So that's our plan for the day. So let's look at our case example. Ella is a 20-year-old first-time mother of a four-month-old son. She enrolled in the NF Nurse Family Partnership at 12 weeks pregnant. Mothers have to enroll before the 28th week. And she was in a shelter at that time and has been visited regularly by Cheryl, who is her Nurse Family Partnership home visitor. Cheryl noticed that Ella was not taking care of herself during the pregnancy, and so with the inevitable, incredible skill that Nurse Family Partnership nurses show, she was extremely patient and waited for Ella to reveal that she was using drugs at that point and gradually got Ella into a treatment center and got her into regular prenatal care. With all of that support through Cheryl, Ella was able to be drug-free for the last 2 months of the pregnancy, and as a consequence, even though Devon was born 2 months early, 2 weeks early, he actually showed no prematurity complications, and he showed no drug withdrawal issues, which was phenomenal, and that often happens with the Nurse Family Partnership intervention. As an offshoot of that, Ella was able to move in with her grandmother and now lives in the home with the grandmother and is really committed to being the best mother she can for Devon, which again is one of the outcomes of the Nurse Family Partnership. She's breastfeeding, which is another outcome of the Nurse Family Partnership, and taking excellent care of him, which is another outcome of the Nurse Family Partnership. But Cheryl notices that she appears sad and looks like she's been crying. The nurses tell me that there's a term they use, couch mother. She's a couch mother. Whenever she comes, she's always on the couch. Devon is seated away from her, which is a big, big cue. And they're both watching television. She's usually dressed in the same gown that she was wearing the last time that Cheryl was there. She looks very tired. She doesn't leave the house except to take Devon to his checkups, which she's been very good about. But she has no friends, and except for Cheryl and her grandmother, has no contact with adults at all. When Cheryl follows up on the goals that they set for the previous visit, Ella has always tried very hard, but has not accomplished much on the goals at all, or only a few of the activities. Cheryl is very patient and remains patient, but she's very worried about the affect, about the low energy, and about the social isolation. Okay, let's look at the Nurse Family Partnership. It's a community health intervention. It serves pregnant first-time mothers through the child's second birthday, and the point was that this was a nodal moment developmentally for mothers in that first pregnancy when we might do the most possible good by intervening. It currently serves 26,000 first-time mothers and their families in 43 states in the Virgin Islands, and it's implemented by 1,600 registered nurses, nurse home visitors. And it's evidence supported. The NFP, through multiple clinical trials, has shown improved pregnancy outcomes, namely smoking cessation and better pregnancy spacing in between pregnancies. It's also shown to have maternal economic self-sufficiency outcomes, reduction in convictions, reduction in child neglect, abuse, and child emergency visits for accidents in particular, improved child cognitive behavioral outcomes, and cost savings, some very impressive cost savings, where the cost of the program actually is outweighed by the savings down the line of these other services that come as a consequence of these things not happening. By serving low-income mothers bearing their first children, it really intersects a high-risk population. So there's an increasing number of mothers who have mental health and substance use issues coming into the NFP. However, the NFP builds mental health in and of itself by the five major prongs of developing self-efficacy, supporting sound mothering and pride in the maternal role, supporting solid life goals, encouraging habits that result in good physical health, and building supportive relationships. These are the prongs of the NFP, and they have an impressive substructure of materials and training, all developed around doing these critical goals. When I intersected NFP years ago when I was working with NCAS down in the West Coast, and so I started the conversation many years ago, and it took a while. I think it took a while for David to kind of get alerted to the fact that the mental health scene was changing in NFP. When he and I finally got together, they had data from sites, primarily from Los Angeles and from New York. We looked at those were the first big data sets that we looked at. And sure enough, they were finding the same thing I was finding in my research, which was primarily done with early Head Start populations and then non-affiliated low-income mothers, which was even higher, where I was consistently getting about over 50% of the mothers scoring with significant levels of depressive symptoms. Significant, meaning that they were in some way impacted by the depressive symptoms. And so we were seeing the same kind of profile in these NFP data sets, and also anxiety, because they were screening for anxiety also. There was also a very high prevalence of anxiety issues going on in NFP. This was, although there was no direct way of linking these, in the early Head Start data sets, we knew that about 50% of symptomatic mothers with depression dropped out of early Head Start before they had completed the program. So we could easily see that those were impacts that were happening in the NFP, even though we weren't able to link those two. But it became clear that there needed to be something done in terms of an enhancement for mental health, because it was becoming a part of the landscape. At the same time, I was talking with NFP nurse home visitors and trying to elicit data from them, and they were asking for help with these challenging mothers. Most everybody who does this kind of work realizes what this does to your work with people, with your clients, and yet the NFP nurses had completely full roles and could, and were very clear to say, we can't handle anymore. We can't have anything that adds on to what we're already doing, because we're already carrying a great piece that we're doing here. So, and then there was this issue that I had run into as a student, where mental health was sort of not what I wanted to do. It was sort of outside my role. So a number of people who come into the maternal health child areas, and areas that are non-psych, don't really like psych, as if it's some other entity. And so I fully understood that kind of sentiment. And yet, at the same time, we know nationally that the mental health systems across the country have deteriorated, and that mental health care is certainly out of the question for most Americans except the most severely mentally ill. And as a consequence, we can't do any early intervention or prevention. There are no resources for that. So the NFP nurses were well aware that their communities were lean. There was nowhere to send these mothers. So when we put together the team, we put together research evaluation experts, that's me and the PRC folks, and then our practice experts, which I talked about in the beginning. We use data continuously, and we try to incorporate multiple perspectives and a strong nurse perspective, which is why I was so glad to be heading up the team, because I'm a nurse. But we also I was very careful to work for consensus building, and that has taken a longer time because it's slower when you have differing perspectives to bring them all together and look for that compromise area. We finally were able to pilot test it about 2 years ago. We started that into the role, and I will talk a little bit about that as we go along. But we've used an iterative approach where we go out and we pilot test or we get data, we bring it back to the table, we look at things again, and so we are on our way almost on the home stretch, I think, at this point, so I will describe that as we go along. We also developed some principles along the way. We didn't start out, I would love to say, we started out with these principles and we designed everything, but it didn't. It's iterative. So the principles became clearer as we move forward into the process that mental health is really part of all nursing care and part of the NFP role. And that's a principle we've been operating on. And that the NFP foundations of self-efficacy, strong maternal role and social support really build mental health for all mothers. And that the specialized mental health interventions really needed to fit into the whole of the NFP nursing role as opposed to being this add-on. We heard that very clearly from the nurses themselves. And that the support structures are essential to build around any sort of mental health intervention. And that means timely consultation, reflective supervision, and reflective practice, and support for decision-making. And so we've built that also. So I will show you where we are in that process. So when we started the initial tailoring of mental health to the NFP home visitors, we looked at the ANA scope of practice and also the NFP definition of practice, and we found a great deal of help there. Just like when I started the work with Early Head Start, they were working under federal performance standards, which also called for mental health assessment and support for families in Early Head Start. And that gave me leverage for getting in there. Same with the NFP. The NFP has a very clear statement that nurses care for the whole person and that maternal mental health is linked to infant mental health. So they had brought in the infant mental health principle as well. And this helped us because we could say, this is what NFP says, this is what NFP does. And that sort of gave us somewhat of the muscle, but as we all know, that's as far as you want to go with that, because anything more than that, as opposed to the nurses themselves adopting this, you will not get it implemented consistently. So what we did was we used the nurses' experience to kind of help us engage them. And that was primarily over their difficulty and frustration in carrying through the NFP functions that they wanted to do. And that's because it was mutual goal setting. They've been trained to use motivational interviewing. But even with motivational interviewing, mothers were not responding to what they needed to do. They could see that there was something else going on that they weren't able to address. And the big thing that bothers most of us, all of us, I would say, is when we lose a mother and an infant from the program. And they just disappear into space, and we never know where they went, and we're haunted by those parents. And so that was the main thing that we talked to them about. And in talking about that, we could get to the big issue. The elephant in the room in my work all along for now 15 years of carrying out intervention studies is always the fear that a mother's going to commit suicide and, worse, infanticide, take her child with her. So that's always the big elephant in the room, and you sort of always think about that, and people are always sort of quietly scared of that. So they don't want to lift up the stone because what you're going to find under there might be something like that. And what am I going to do if I have that? And how am I going to take care of it? And so we could finally get, after some dialogue work with the nurses, to that fear. And that has been one of that, as well as the fear of making a mistake. I'm going to say the wrong thing. She's going to jump out the window. I'm going to cause depression. I'm going to cause her to be suicidal. Those are fears that lurk in all of us about mental health because we just come into the world with those. So we could eventually get to that point and also be able to construct materials where we could deal with that, where we could get on that dialogue with nurses. We emphasize that the nurse-client relationship in the NFP is really where primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention occur. The whole NFP, as I mentioned before, prevents maternal depressive symptoms and anxiety and prevents the infant consequences of exposure through compromised maternal mental health. It does that across the board. You wouldn't even need to add an enhancement to nurse-family partnership to have that happen. That does it. But where we were, where we saw the need, was in detecting mild and early symptoms and halting that progression toward worse symptoms. About 25% of people with mild to moderate depressive symptoms that score on a screener will progress to full-blown depression in 12 months. So we know that, about 25%. And then of the rest of them, that's the population that I lose sleep over, because they don't ever progress to treatment levels. So they never get treatment. They just stay at that moderate to severe level. Sometimes they might lapse into an episode. By the time you get there, they're back out of the episode, so you never really get them into formal treatment. They're even worse, and we know that the impact on the infant and child is even greater for that group than even the more severe, because more severe people usually get treatment, we think, as well as the troops arrive, the social support systems move in. So it's that middle group that is the one that we worry the most about. And then obviously those who have full-blown symptoms, the idea of progression to clinical severity or complications like suicide attempts, et cetera, or hospitalizations are something that we want to prevent. But also we think that we can heal. Hooray! I believe that. Okay, so how do we go about the process of embedding this in enhancement? We first started with a content analysis of all the skill sets in the five domains of the nurse-family partnership. That meant decentering it, where we looked at the skill sets that were required that the nurses had to do and the facilitators that went along with them. They use modularized facilitator content pieces that are beautiful. They're designed for the nurse-family partnership. They have really nice graphics. They're very simply worded. Those are things that carry the NFP message to the mothers, so we did an analysis of that as well as the training. Then we created an index of all of the NFP supporting materials by domain. We organized them by domain, and then organized the key symptoms of depression and anxiety and linked those to domains. They don't always nicely fit. Some transverse over more than one domain, like psychomotor retardation transverses all of them. When a mother can't get up and get moving, all of the domains are affected by that. So, but we sort of artificially forced them into domains, so we had some organization there. And then we developed specialized interventions by domain for the nurses to carry out that were within their scope of practice, and that was important to do. We then created crosswalks between each of these general nurse family partnership interventions to the specialized mental health interventions, and then to the supporting materials, and then to the specialized mental health support materials, which we developed to deliver the mental health enhancement. We developed materials to support the nurse and team competencies in danger assessment, referral, and crisis management, which was the stone that nobody wanted to lift up. It's my belief that if we have clear decision-making pathways and we have clear communication pathways, that all of this can be managed within the nurse family partnership clearly without fear, because we know exactly what we need to do. It doesn't mean that horrible things are not going to happen. Sometimes they happen. But we will have operated within the practice guidelines, and we are protected legally because we have worked within established and best practices. And when all that's documented, we're okay. And so that's what we designed and developed. And then we designed a larger structure around that, which is the ongoing support for nurse home visitors and supervisors, who are the main carriers of the burden of working with the population. So I'll describe that in a minute. Okay, so back to Ella. Okay, first Cheryl screens Ella for depressive symptoms and anxiety. What's beautiful about the NFP is that they have a computerized structure for screening, when screening occurs. And screening for depression and anxiety was already a part of the NFP, which was fabulous. So all we had to develop then was that screening, make sure that that was done, but also then educate the nurses on how to do additional screenings, what would trigger it, when they needed to do it, and how they would put it into the system and document it. So it wasn't a matter of introducing it into something as a foreign thing. It was already there, but it was just getting it to be more clinically driven rather than procedurally driven. So that was very helpful. But where we found the difficulty, and you will hear me say this time and time again, that I think toolkits are useless until there's an interface between the person who's going to use the toolkit and somebody else. And that's what I'm pushing nationally now, is that we get in that interface, because the nurses all knew how to do the screening, but they didn't know how to bring it up with a client, especially if it wasn't the routine one. So how do I bring it up? How do I introduce it to her? What if she says no? What do I do then? What if she says yes and she takes it? What do I do with the results? How do I talk to her about that? All of that are skill sets that have to be built, and that's what we've done in the educational program, is build those skill sets with videos, with exercises, with role plays, with having them go out into the field, try it, bring it back to their team, so on and so forth. So there's a whole educational set for that. So anyway, she knows now how to discuss the results with Ella and with the team, and they make a plan. And so they work on, Ella has chosen, maternal choice is a big part of the NFP, to work on personal health and maternal role domains. And those are very common for mothers to choose. So she identifies, one of the things that we've educated the nurses to do is to, what's your most bothersome symptom? Where is this depression getting in your way? Well, she identifies her sadness and preoccupation with events of the past and her low responsiveness to Devon. She knows that sitting on the couch, facing him away from her, watching television is not what she needs to be doing with Devon. And that's her hope for the future. So the mutual care plan then looks at both domains using the standard NFP materials that are already there and part of that, plus these enhanced mental health focused materials. And this is what it looks like. So we have the two domains. Let me see if I can get this card through. We have personal health and we have maternal role. And the main symptoms, remember we organized the symptoms by domain. So there's a set of symptoms within the domain that we work from. So sadness and preoccupation is part of personal health. And so we then move to the depressive symptom intervention, which includes, these were the crosswalks work. So there are certain materials that are in the NFP standard materials that we pull out and say, you can use these to have the mother work with her depressive symptoms by doing this, that, and the other thing. Then we have a set of what we call are the enhancements. I lost my cursor. Oh, there it is. And those are the specialized ones that we have developed specifically for depression or for anxiety. We have two separate sets of them. And then there are certain NFP enhancements. That would be motivational interviewing in this case. So we would show how to do motivational interviewing with this enhancement. And then we would add in there the specialized mental health materials, which then are developed for the mental health enhancement. So we have a care plan template. So she would start with sadness and preoccupation. She would list those three things. She would pull out the actual materials that she's going to use with the mom and then move forward into that one. And then the same goes for the maternal role. In this case, the low response to Devon's cues would be the one that she would pick out because the mother herself had picked this out. She would use the NFP standard materials. She would add to it. There are some new materials that have been developed for NFP that are looking at maternal-child interaction. She would use those pieces, and then she would use the specialized mental health pieces, which might mean a crosswalk, actually, between here, like moving, going, trying to set a logo, because depressive people tend to overset things and then, in a sense, self-sabotage by setting themselves up for failure. And then that says, oh, see, I failed again. So what we work with nurses on doing is setting the bar very low. How about taking a walk with Devon outside in the stroller just to the end of the block once this week? So she sets a very low goal. It actually covers personal health because it gets the mom out of the house, but it also does something with Devon, which puts her more in doing something with him, doing something fun. And one of the things that came from my own clinical trials was that babies are fabulous with depression, because when I had all these warnings from the psychoanalytic people. Oh, when the mom finally makes a connection with the baby, the baby's going to be angry and experience rage. But the babies don't. They look, when their mom finally turns around, and we do things like working with moms with a mirror, letting her see how she looks to the baby, then letting her practice affect, and then she turns to the baby and uses that affect, and the baby lights up like fireworks, and then she's. The reward is so quick that you don't have to do anything but just get her into that place, and the baby gives the rest of the reward. So it doesn't take a lot to get a depressed mom to respond to her baby. So there we would work with the NFP nurses, have these, and we have facilitators now that help them bring it into that place for the mom. So those would be the two things, just those two things that she would work on with Ella, until she was able to begin to see the payoff on those. And then she could maybe go into some of the other domains, life goals, et cetera. But right now she stays, we educate nurses to stay right within those two places, not move, not get too elaborate, not push too much with the mom, but just let the mom's energy kind of drive it, the low energy drive the process. At the same time we've built sort of a protective, I call it cuddle group, around the nurse, around Ella, Devon, and Grandma here in the center, but also around Cheryl and the supervisor and the team. And that requires certain NFP resources that build team support, reflective practice. We're focused on reflective practice for the nurse, but also reflective practice for the supervisor doing the reflective practice. That supervisor needs reflective practice also. And then working with the team to develop community resources, because we know that there are not going to be formal mental health services out there, and that it's likely that this mother will never get formal mental health treatment but will remain in the NFP and will get most of the mental health treatment through the NFP. So working on the additional supportive services like focus groups, church groups, et cetera, to kind of be there for Ella when she gets ready to move out of the house. Community consultants, community programs such as the community support groups such as training programs. You know, psychotherapy training programs become great places to connect with NFPs so that the mother is actually getting some formal psychotherapy treatment while she's actually for free, you know, or low cost. So those are the kinds of NFP services that we're building, and then hopefully what will happen is that through Ella, as Ella gets stronger, and Grandma and Devon, the strength will come back to the community through a stronger family unit with less resource use. That's our hope. Anyway, so we are finishing a 3-state pilot. We have a pilot run that is now finishing up in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Pennsylvania. We have 300 nurses involved in that now. We have tested all of these materials. We're in the last data collection. We will be evaluating the overall fit with the NFP. We'll decide at that point whether we need to put it into implementation or not. Most of us want to implement it right away and do an implementation science type of test of this. So that's our current plan at the moment. That's it.